أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدني علما. Now we will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayahs 59 to 64. Previously, we learned about children who did not reach puberty, how they must be taught to ask permission to enter the room or the area where the parents sleep, and at three times during the day. But what about kids who have reached puberty and are older? وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمَ, and when the children have reached or passed the age of puberty, as adult children go to see their parents, if we do not live there or live there, cannot enter their rooms without their permission. Rather, فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, so they should also seek permission just as those before. Now, those before means those who are elders, so they should announce their coming, even if they are older children and living in the same home, or they live somewhere else. They have to seek permission to enter upon their parents, not just at the three times of the day mentioned earlier. Now they must seek permission all the time to enter. Not just getting permission to enter from the father, but also the mother as well, so she can fix herself. In case she is not covered properly, she can cover herself. It shouldn't be that the mom is in the shower and the kids are trying to give her the phone when there is a call for her. The mother says, "It's only my child." Mothers should care that her sitter is covered at all times, and her privacy is regarded not just when she is with her husband. She should sit respectfully, especially when sons are around, especially sons who are older. Many times mothers may think, they are just my kids or my brother or any other mahram relation. Haya should be maintained even with these relations. Also, in الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, it does not only include elders who have to get permission, but kids who have reached and passed the age of puberty, especially when there are other family members living in the house, such as parents, son and his wife. They should not enter each other's rooms without permission, even if it is the parents. They cannot enter the private rooms without permission, even if it is the room of their son or their daughter. Their privacy must be regarded, especially if they are married. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ, likewise, makes clear Allah for you His ayat. He simplifies His commands for us. So whoever wants to gain guidance can get it. Those who do not care about obeying Allah's commands will not do it, and they will see its negative effects. Only Allah can give us such comprehensive commands, as even parents sometimes do not remember to teach these manners to their kids. But only Allah knows that these manners have to be taught, because Wallahu Alimun Hakim, Allah is the All-Knower and All-Wise. So we should try to implement these commands. We can't say that this command is at the level of fard, and if we do not do it, it will incur sin, because we have locks on doors today as means to maintain privacy. However, when we and our children implement these commands, then we are obeying the commands of Allah, and the children get rewarded for following these commands, as well as the parents who teach these commands to the kids. If Allah gives commands for even small kids to get permission to enter, so the parents' privacy is not invaded, and their sutra and private parts are guarded. The guarding eyes from the TV, the phone, internet. How careful we must be about looking at sutra and private parts of others. We learn about this from a story at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a couple who cooked food for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when they prepared, they saw people coming in and out without permission. So they wished for an ayah or a command so that would not happen. They wished for their privacy, as all people want. Not that people are walking in without regard, even if our child needs to get permission. So when the wife asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if the husband and wife were under one cover and someone enters, so even looking at those under the same cover is disallowed, then what about looking at certain scenes or looking at porn? That is not allowed. Parents should think about what they are teaching their kids when they allow their kids to see shameful things. Then we learn about the commands of veil for women who are old. وَالْقَوَائِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا يَرْجُونَ نِكَاحًا فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحًا أَنْ يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ. Those women who are once to sit. First, we must understand who are these women. Just any woman cannot include herself in this category. Rather, those women who sit means that they have reached such an old age and movement and going about everywhere is not possible for them. And they have no strength for activities normal younger women can do, who are very old. And if any man looks at them, does not arouse any attractive feelings about her. These type of women, about them is لَا يَرْجُونَ نِكَاحًا. They do not hope for marriage and have no desire for men. She is past menopausal age. And this does not include women who reach menopause early, but women for whom there is no hope for her to marry. This does not mean that even if a young woman says, I do not want to marry, gets included in this category, if above 40. But these are very old women who have no desires. In simple terms, those when people look at know she is very old, like a grandmother. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحًا أَنْ يَضَعْنَا ثِيَابَهُنْ. Then not any sin or blame upon them that they put off or remove their outer garment. This garment is referring to the long shawl, abaya, or jilbab, not the clothes upon her body. The outer covering, in addition to her normal clothes, is being referred. As when a woman reaches an old age, cannot carry the weight, but only those women who used to wear the abaya or jilbab in their life will take off in old days. And those who never wore, what will they take off or remove? There is one condition for this removal. What is the condition? غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِزِينَةٍ. Not ones to display their adornment. The barraj is from burj. Baraja means being prominent, as burj is prominent. So here it refers to not ones being prominent, showing their beauty, wearing bright and beautiful garments, wearing gold and makeup and other forms of adornment, ones not to show or display any beautification. So if they are very old, then they can remove. Otherwise, there is no exception for them to remove their outer covering. Otherwise, have to keep themselves covered. In one narration, a woman companion narrated that I went to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. I asked, O Ummul Mu'mineen, mother of the believers, What do you say about coloring hair, coloring garments, wearing earrings, wearing anklets, wearing gold rings, and wearing thin or fine clothes? So she asked about these things in her question. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, O women, they are all lawful for you. You can color hair, wear colored clothes, you can wear jewelry, including gold rings. But non-mahram men should not see these forms of adornments on you. In this, there are two extremes in this regard. Women wear and do all these and then show to all non-mahram men. Second extreme is making it all haram. Wherever this type of woman goes, doesn't take off her abaya, nor does she do any makeup, even if she's with women alone or in front of her husband. No matter where she is in one condition and makes all form of adornment haram upon herself. It is said that these things are halal and allowed, but with the condition that non-mahram men cannot see it. This is the only restriction and no other restriction. Saying cannot wear this or that, can wear earrings, other jewelry, can wear beautiful clothes, but cannot let non-mahram men see them. So these old women who are past menopausal age and cannot have kids, nor anyone would marry them. In one place it is mentioned that Rabia said, Kawaid are such old women that when you look at them, feel loathsome. So it is okay for them just to wear their shirt and pants alone and do not need to wear their outer covering. But if an old woman still likes to adorn herself, that means the desire is still in her, and not necessarily for marriage, but the desire to display her beauty. Then she cannot remove her outer covering of the long shawl, jilbab, or ibaya. A woman cannot put off wearing the outer covering by saying, I am old, or have no desire. When they wear different forms of adornment, wearing lipsticks and other makeup, and even coloring hair. So these women are those women who are so old, who do not have the desire to even adorn themselves. And to emphasize, what they no longer need to wear is the outer covering, not the clothes that cover their nakedness. Today, even grandmothers look young, so cannot use this as a criteria. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, indeed beautification is halal and good, but not for cooling eyes and glances of non-mahram men. Secondly, وَأَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرٌ لَهُنْ, and if they adopt modesty, that is better for them. But even if they reach old age and do not remove their outer covering, that is better for them. Here we learn that even if the old women are commanded with this, then what about the younger women? If they take care, is superior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an allowance to them, but told it is better if they still keep their outer garments on and keep on covering themselves. When a person reaches a very old age, it is even difficult to walk and stay sitting, and wearing abayas and long shawls would not be able to manage them. So this way they can be in front of mahram and can go in front of non-mahram the same way. And wherever they are taken, for example hospitals or in doctor's office, everyone usually calls them the grandmother or mother, and people come to their aid. Due to this old age, they can go in front of non-mahram men, just as those who are mahram. Allahu Sami'un Alim, and Allah is all-hearer and all-knower. Here we learn that Allah hears what people say about these commands, and He knows what people feel in their hearts. Many times people question and object to these commands and harbor negative thoughts regarding these commands, and people do not even feel shame in making negative remarks or comments. Even if the other people do not hear, Allah hears and knows what opinions people have about His commands. When anyone shows dislike in their heart and ill words are uttered, such as saying, "This is unfair," and unjust restrictions are placed on us, Allah knows about it all, so believers should not have dislike about the commands of Allah. Rather, what we learn is to say, "Sami'na wa ata'na," we hear and we obey. There should not be any tightness in our heart from these commands. We can understand this better if we ask our child to get us a glass of water, and he or she makes a face and gets up with an attitude and shows his disapproval that we are asking him or her to do something. What do we say in that case? Don't do it. We don't need the child. We feel pride in this for ourselves. But Allah is Ghayur, who is the most honorable. When He gives us a command and we feel anger and disapproval towards it, and we find it a hardship for ourselves, and if we feel it intolerable for a child to show us disapproval, then how does our Creator consider it? While there is no comparison of our child showing their disapproval and to our asking versus our disapproval to the commands of Allah. But the things we do not like to see or hear from our children, we do that with Allah. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ. There is not any blame upon the blind nor upon the lame. What blame or sin is this regarding? In those times, the disabled or sick would feel shy eating with others, either due to the feeling that others would feel disgusted from them and would dislike eating with them. For example, if a blind person ate with someone, he felt that if he ate from someone's house, would eat too much, or the lame would feel that he would take too much space. Or the people would feel that possibly they would eat too much and the blind would not get enough. Or some would feel disgusted to eat with them. And families with disabled in their household would keep them away from their guests, so not to disturb the guest. Or if they get invited, they leave them at home. This still happens today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no blame upon the blind nor upon the lame. وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيدِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ. And nor upon the sick any blame, and nor upon yourselves. أَن تَأْكُلُوا مِن بُيُوتِكُمْ, that you eat from your homes. So there is no harm or blame or a problem for them to eat with anyone. They do not need to sit separately for any reason. There is no harm if they sit and eat together. And there is no problem if you eat from your home. A man's home is his home where his wife lives. Sometimes parents in Asian countries feel like they shouldn't eat from the daughter's home, while there is no harm in that. Or some do not want to eat even in their son's homes, saying the daughter-in-law does not treat them well, or fear what would she think. Parents do not need permission to eat from a son's home. So there is no harm and blame if you eat from your homes, including the children's homes. The Prophet ﷺ said to a son that you and your wealth belong to your father. أَوْ بِيُوتِ آبَائِكُمْ, or homes of your fathers, including grandfathers from father and mother's side. O buyuti ummahatikum, or homes or houses of your mothers, including grandmothers from the father or mother, or if the mother is separated from the father. أو بيوت إخوانكم, or houses of your brothers. Real brothers or stepbrothers are included. Not necessarily living together. أو بيوت أخواتكم, or houses of your sister. There is no harm in that. There is no restriction in Islam regarding eating from a daughter's or a sister's house, as in some cultures. أو بيوت أعمامكم, or houses of your paternal uncles, who are father's brothers. أو بيوت أعماتكم, or houses of your paternal aunts, meaning the father's sisters. أو بيوت أخوالكم, or houses of your maternal uncles, who are the mother's brothers. أو بيوت خالاتكم, or houses of your paternal aunts, who are the mother's sisters. Allah gives us a list of relations in whose houses there is no harm in eating from. It is not prohibited. أو ما ملكتم مفاتيحه, or houses that are entrusted to you by possession of their keys. This could be servants who might have access to the home where they work, so if they eat without asking permission who they work for, there is no harm, but they cannot take it out of that house, especially by hiding it. Also, that is, if it is not disliked for them to eat from there, if the people mentioned feel happy by your eating in their houses, then there is no harm. Also, in مَا مَلَكْتُمْ مَفَاتِيحَهُ means possession of multiple homes. For example, a person may have summer home or an office or a place of business. And regarding letting servants eat, some people have servants cook the food, but do not allow them to eat from it. They have separate food cooked for them. For example, the owners of the home cook meat for themselves, and for the servant, dal is cooked. They can eat from the cooked food in a good way, not devouring the entire meal, but eating some from it, or making the restrictions upon themselves that they would only be compensated with monies and have to get their own food. Rather, if the servant is responsible for cooking and eats from it, then there is no harm in that. أو صديقكم, or your friend's houses. But this also depends on how close the friendship is. Some friends are like brothers and sisters, while with some friends, it is not a close friendship. So it all depends how close is the friendship with someone. Only when one knows the friend will be happy to eat from their houses, not angry, then they can eat. In those times, people were very hospitable to guests and felt happy. Today, some people do not like for anyone to eat in their homes. If the guest doesn't eat, they should be asked again and again to eat. Also, we should want for them to eat, not being stingy. Serve with generosity, because taking care of guests well is greatly emphasized. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah and the Last Day should honor their guest. In it, respecting, serving well is also included. Whether it is a guest who is staying with you or one coming for a short time, the guest should come after getting permission, and if they eat from your house, then there is no harm in that. If we go to our family member's house, and they have prepared food for someone else, we should respect that and not eat from it. In مَا مَلَكْتُمْ مَفَاتِيحَهُ, we also learn that when the Prophet ﷺ would be upon a journey, especially for jihad, every companion would wish to go with him. And when they left with the Prophet, they would leave the keys of their homes with their friends and would tell them to eat whatever they wished from it. But at times, there were friends who were disabled and could not go along with the Prophet and the companions to the battles to fight. If the friend was either blind or lame, those who left would tell them to eat from their homes. However, they would not. They would think that they are not here, and if we eat from the food, it would be betraying their trust. So they did not eat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that there is no harm if they eat. This was also because an ayah was revealed, which said, Ya ayyuha allazina amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum bainakum bil batil, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, not for the believers, to eat the wealth of each other in an unjust way. So the companions thought that even the food was part of the wealth of a person, so considered it unlawful to eat from each other, and they stopped eating. They obeyed the command exactly to the point. But here, now they are told to eat and drink, and that there was no sin or blame upon them for that, as long as they didn't mind, and would not become difficult for them. And if that was the case, then to avoid, that is better. Other matters to consider in this regard is that when we go to someone's house, we should not make a mess, or not to go when the people at home are resting or someone is sick. We should not impose. Also, going back to the commands of covering up. Covering up doesn't mean we need to do social boycott of everyone. As we go to the husband's sister's house, her husband will be there, or if we go to the husband's brother's house, or uncles of the husband, they are not mahram, but will most likely we will eat from these people's homes, and they too will come to our homes, and we will have to serve them. So we cannot boycott meeting with them, but cannot cross the limits. One has to take care of their own covering up appropriately. Just because one covers up according to the commands of Sharia doesn't mean they have to cut off all ties, but mentions all relations, so we would meet and eat from their houses. We can go to others' houses after seeking permission, and there is no harm if we eat from their homes. We see the ranks in ties of kinship. First, parents are mentioned, then brothers and sisters, than others. All relations are mentioned and should be regarded. There is no formality in eating in anyone's house. When presented with food, should eat happily and give dua to them. There should not be a pretense in this. Also, when we go to any of the relations' home, cannot cause any harm, even if not as an adult. But many times, it is the kids who act wild. Kids should be taught to behave and not to destroy someone's house, even if it is a close relation's home. Sometimes mothers become very relaxed when they go to someone's house, and they have no care what the children are doing, spilling cold drinks or making a mess. Whether if anyone minds or not, we cannot be a source of trouble for anyone. If kids are to accompany the parents in visiting someone, they should be taught prior to going how to behave. The Prophet ﷺ said, a Muslim is one who the other Muslims are safe from with their hands and tongue. And if kids cause destruction as guests, this is not being safe for the host. The children will only do what is taught to them. Whether if one's own home or other people's home, children should be taught etiquettes of respecting property and having good manners. We cannot be a source of trouble for anyone. The Prophet ﷺ said, Deen is the name of goodness. No matter how frank we are with anyone or someone visiting, we should keep that in mind. If there is a slightest chance that the host will not like for us to eat something, then should not eat. No one should feel harm from our kids. ليس عليكم جناح أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا. There is no harm upon you if you eat together or eat separately. This was a tradition in Arabs, especially one tribe of the Ansar, who did not eat alone. If they did not have anyone to eat with them, they would go out to look for someone who would eat with them. So this self-restriction was removed, and we are given ease in this regard. If we were told to only eat together, it would have become difficult, as no one could eat alone. So here, we learn that there is no harm in eating alone, and cannot say we must eat together. In many instances in our homes, some person comes at a certain time, and other family members at a different time, and everyone needs to eat in their convenient time. So it is okay to do in weekdays, but should not be a routine. In certain circumstances, it is okay, but it is preferred to eat together. In a hadith, we learn that there is barakah in eating together, and it is preferred and emphasized. In Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned that a man said, "O Prophet, we eat, but do not have enough to eat to give us strength." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Perhaps you eat separately." He said, "Eat together, sitting next to each other, with mentioning the name of Allah, you will get barakah." So there is barakah in sitting together and eating, not in eating alone. So it is said there is no harm in eating separately, but preferences in eating together. If this is not possible during the weekdays, then at least on weekends or one meal of the day should be eaten together.